Good morning. Today is Thursday, May the 26th, 158th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is California Highway Patrol Public Information Officer and all-around guy with a gun, Cy May.
Good morning.
How you been?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. You weren't here last week or last month, were you?
I don't remember.
Did Brett come in last?
He probably did.
I think he did.
Sometime recently.
Yeah, okay.
I know you guys miss me.
Enough to remember that you weren't here.
Yeah. That's good. At least I was thought about. That makes me feel good.
Oh, boy. I think we're going to go with this Robert E. Lee quote. This is kind of cool going into a Memorial Day weekend.
Throw it at him.
And I don't think Quimby will find it tomorrow. So, this is in a letter to Martha Custis Williams, April 7th, 1866, obviously after the Civil War. Quote, "I'm now considered such a monster that I hesitate to darken with my shadow the doors of those I love best, lest I bring upon them misfortune."
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's...
That's a good one.
That's interesting.
Going to set the mood for this interview?
Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Depends on how you go with it. You guys... I get there are two quick topics that I've got, and then there's the long one. Highway 36 last week.
Yes.
Okay. Guy drives off the road out of cell phone range. Must have been mucked up enough where he had troubles getting up to the road a couple of different times.
Yep.
Are there a lot of places like that in our area that folks may think they've got cell coverage when, in fact, they don't?
There is, especially 36, 299, there's a couple of dead spots, and Highway 96 and Highway 169, those are almost all dead as far as cell phone coverage. There's a couple of little spots. If you're a local, you'll know where they are, and you can pull over and use your cell phone. But if you're driving through there, it's going to be hard to find.
Were you surprised at his name? I know I shot you an email back, and I noted your lack of reply, so I figured I must have taken a little bit of flesh on that.
You know, one. I don't judge. It's possible.
It was interesting to see you know, some of the different folks that come through the area for whatever reason.
Yeah, right.
This fellow seemed to have an awful lot of OVs at the end of his name.
He did.
So I was just kind of curious, but that's got to be part of the cool stuff for you guys when you pull somebody over. Oh, you're from Tennessee. Oh, you're from here. Oh, you're from there. What are you looking for? You seem to be confused when you were driving around in circles. That kind of stuff, kind of the helping hand part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We see people from all over the country, all over the world, and absolutely, you know, whatever brings them here is whatever brings them here, but we're here to help them or make sure they're abiding by our laws.
Now, we've also got the maximum enforcement that you guys are putting down, I guess now, huh?
Yeah, it starts Friday
okay,
afternoon.
Well,
so tomorrow.
Okay, let's call it tomorrow then.
Yeah.
Does that just mean vacations are canceled?
No, it's not that vacations are canceled. It's just that we have, you know, each area has a set number of guys per capita, per population of the area that need to be working at any given time. And so we try to get the maximum amount out there during these big holidays, and if we have any sort of funds to put extra bodies out there in allocation, we can do that, and that's what our plan is for this weekend.
So just kind of keeping everybody on the straight and narrow.
That's it. Try to keep everybody safe.
Between the lines
on the roadway. How's that?
Yeah,
sound?
There you go. KINS News and Information Times 8:19. We'll be back with more from Cy May.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Cy May. Cy, you had an opportunity earlier this month to participate, kind of coordinate with a program that, what, about 20 years old now?
Yeah, it
Sounds
started
like
in the early 90s, I believe.
Yeah, it happened well after I got out of high school. But I think we were of the classes that set it up.
You guys were doing the foundation work.
Well, there was, you know, keggers on the beach and all that kind of stuff. And you knew at that time, Eureka's, what was my graduating class? 575, 578, something like that at Eureka High. You knew a couple of kids would be dead.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know which ones.
Right.
And then there was the, right around that time, Kenny Selvage coming down Humboldt Hill.
Yeah.
And it was, that seemed to be the triggering one because well liked by a lot of folks. His folks were well known in the community and it just really tore things up. Was that in combination with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, is that kind of what was swirling when this whole thing started?
Yeah, but it wasn't just locally. It was nationwide. And it actually originated in Canada. Canada's where it started. And Chico Police Department is actually the first police department in California. I may be wrong, but I even think the nation to adopt this program and bring it down here. So, yeah, every 15 minutes, if you're not familiar with it, where it got its name is back in the early 90s, every 15 minutes in this country, in this nation, somebody was killed in a DUI accident. And through education and enforcement and different laws changing, we've thankfully changed that statistic from every 15 minutes to every 50 minutes.
Oh, really? So three times or one third is?
Yes, we've able to change that. It's still an unacceptable statistic, and we want to keep that number growing larger so that obviously the time frame's getting bigger and less DUI fatal collisions. And so we're going to continue with programs like this.
So with that as a precept, folks have kind of heard about it. Maybe their kids have said something over the last couple of years. How do you determine where and who gets to participate in this thing?
Well, it's really up to the schools. The schools will have a coordinator or somebody contact us, and that's typically how it goes.
So and there's an outreach to CHP?
To CHP, yes. And that's what had happened this year with Ferndale High School. One of the teachers got a hold of me actually last year at the end of the school year. It's a very huge program to set up. It takes at least 6 to 8 months to really get it going. Contacted me and said, hey, I'd like to bring this program back to Ferndale. And typically each high school will do it every 3 to 4 years is what the cycle is, so that each group of freshmen through seniors will get to see it at least one time.
What's the goal of this thing?
The goal is to hopefully educate these young drivers, young people of ours, in the dangers of intoxicated driving. And, you know, now we're seeing this more so than ever, and I'm trying to bring this to light with a lot of these young people, that we're not just talking about alcohol, DUI, we're also talking about drugs, illegal drugs, and prescription drugs alike. And I think we had a really good result and impact here in Ferndale this year. It was absolutely, absolutely amazing.
So what are the various scenarios that you'll set up getting ready for it? The couple that I've participated in, it was booze.
Yeah.
Is booze always the culprit, or do you use pot or the prescriptive drugs or other, I guess, hallucinogens?
Right. You know, typically in the ones that I've been involved in, and this was my first year being like the main coordinator in one, and I've helped out with a few in the past, it's usually alcohol. That's, you know, and that's why I said I'm trying to at least bring some more education in on the drug side of it. And so maybe in the future, in the next one, I might bring drugs into it, or at least give them the option of that. It's really up to the school and the students, because we'll pick a student coordinator, and it's their program. It's for them to run, and I'm just there as help and try to guide them and mold them in the right direction.
So when you're working with the kids, what do they see as the goal of this?
You know, when the student, the teacher coordinator usually contacts us, I talk to them first and tell him or her, pick a student who you feel is a leader and who can, you know, it's a good kid, somebody who's out there to try to make a difference. And those kids, they know, most all of them know, you know, drinking and driving is not good. And a lot of them, even, you know, in our area, we're not foreign to fatal DUI crashes. So a lot of them may have been affected by it already. And so the group of kids that I worked with were absolutely amazing. They, from day one, worked so hard and knew what the end result should be. They wanted an impactful, emotional, powerful message that DUI kills people.
the scenario as it gets laid out sometimes is interesting.
Yeah.
How did, as you went through the, let's see, it's a two-day program?
Two-day program.
So the first morning.
Yeah.
How does that part get executed?
It is a mad scramble. It is a mad scramble. You know, we plan for months and months, but the first day we start pulling the kids out of class. We'll take somebody, and it's a little, I guess you could say, quote unquote, corny at times. Have somebody dress up like a Grim Reaper. You would do very well, Brian.
That has been my role. Well, I'll let you go, and then I'll make a quick comment before the break. Yeah,
have somebody come in as a Grim Reaper. We'll walk into the classrooms, read an obituary for the selected students that we've chosen, pull them out of class, and they'll be gone for the rest of that day, as if they died in a collision. And even while doing that, just reading those obituaries, we had students in the class weeping at the thought of their friends passing away.
That's an interesting evolution for me.
Yeah.
I had like an escort, so I didn't like trip and fall.
Right. Yeah. I was.
That would have been embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, with the scythe.
Yes.
Tap him on the shoulder.
You're gone.
That's it. No words.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like dead silent. And the room got silent.
Yeah.
The kids, yeah, you'd have a couple of the smart guys
right.
early on. And I would see them later on in the day, and all the attitude had disappeared.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting.
Very solemn.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Cy May. Talk Shop presented this morning and each morning by Redek and CDH Painting. Cy, so with the Every 15 Minutes program, the schools step forward and say, we want, and you say, okay, we got. You put it together, you kind of coordinate it. As you're implementing it that first day, going through and making the selections of the kids, are they random kids? Are you looking for certain types? Do you want, what is there a profile? How do you do it so that the exercise has the greatest impact?
You know, the kids that we pull out of class are pre-selected, and we let them know ahead of time, so they're in on the secret. But we try to get kids from each, I don't know, what you want to say, clique maybe or something. So, some good kids that are, you know, really into their studies and book work, and then we're going to try to pull some of the popular jocks out, maybe, and we try to get the most popular kids also involved, and also some kids that may be going down a path that they may not want to be going down. So we try to bring a little bit of everybody involved in this, as long as they're being serious about it and respect
the
program.
So a pretty good cross section.
Yep, try to get a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I don't think it must have happened, but I don't recall ever hearing that a kid didn't get into it.
Yeah, every time I've been involved.
There's a seriousness associated with it. And maybe it's peer pressure, too, where some of those that tend to be the goofies in class, they understand that this is not that same environment. This is not the place to try to do things.
Well, I think that they, you know, they get to spend months putting this together. And at least in my experience, me going in there talking to the kids, telling them some of my stories from work, the times that I've seen people killed from DUI collisions, the times where I've had to tell parents that their child isn't coming home, and the emotions that it brings up in me when I'm telling them these stories, they see that it's real. They see that it's real and that it affects people. So, and I think it's good for me to be vulnerable, for officers to be vulnerable and show people a side that we're humans, you know? And once I started to get emotional when I was telling my stories, the kids really, really just, it was hook, line, and sinker. There was no going back.
Things settled down, and all of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying the magic words. So during the process now, you've got however many, whether it's 30 kids, 10 kids, whatever the number is for that school, they're segregated.
Yes.
What happens at that point?
So after that, we do a mock collision that day. So we have four or five students picked for the collision, and they've all got a script. We write it out. There's a storyline involved. So they were partying at a friend's house earlier that day, coming back from lunch or whatever the story may be. And on their way back in, they hit another car full of students. And lo and behold, one to two of them are killed in the collision. So, and we go all out. We have somebody come in and do makeup, blood, everything. And we had some great helpers this time, and it looked really real. And when we do the reenactment, we come in with our lights and sirens, and myself and all the other emergency personnel treat it as if it's a real collision scene. So
obviously, in front of the school kind of thing?
Yeah, in front of the school. They bring out the entire school body and the faculty, and they're all there watching. And I'll tell you what, the kids were very, very solemn, and just they saw how intense it can be.
Yeah, with the makeup.
Yes.
The two that I had, they were using the theater arts program at Humboldt.
Yeah.
So they brought out, the full palettes.
Oh, yeah.
It took a couple of hours to get some of the kids made up, and you could see.
It was
you
always
could see the visual there.
Yes, and that's the point. The point is to make it as real as possible for these kids to realize that this happens. This very much happens. And so while that's going on, I'm arresting the DUI driver, and the coroner comes and puts one of the bodies in a body bag and takes them away in the back of the coroner truck. And while this is all going on, we film it. So we hire a crew to film it, and they go to the coroner's office and film the scene where the parent comes in and IDs the body. And that's a very emotional scene. And we obviously go to the parents. They know it's all fake.
What?
Yeah, no, it doesn't
matter.
You
project yourself in that one, and it's a different ballgame,
just imagining your child even pretending to be dead lying on this gurney. And the parents show real emotion and cry and sob, and it's powerful.
So that part is then done.
Yes.
That night.
The night.
What happens? Because I know you talk to the kids. Yep. So the family's aware they're not going to come home tonight because we've got an exercise. Don't worry. We'll feed them. We'll take care of them. See you tomorrow at school.
Exactly. Yeah. And the parents are supposed to pretend that their child is gone due to the fact that they passed away in a collision. So we ask all the parents to write their child a letter. Dear Johnny, today you passed away. These are all the things I'm going to miss about you. And they're very emotional letters. And that night, the kids, they stay at a hotel. It's called The Retreat. And we play games. I went and, again, talked to the kids, shared more of my work stories. We had a guest speaker come who lost his son in a DUI collision. So he gave his testimony. Talked about
to the kids that had been pulled out
to the kids at the retreat.
Okay.
And just so emotional, everybody just you could see the pain in this gentleman's eyes. He lost his firstborn son at the hands of a DUI driver, and the kids see that and they realize this is horrible. No parent should lose their child. Nobody should be lost. This affects a lot of people.
It's interesting, as you're talking, you're not saying that the kids got drunk and killed somebody.
Right.
You're saying they were killed by?
Killed by a DUI driver.
Now, whether it's a fellow student or somebody else, the concept that this was not the perpetrator, this was the victim.
Yes. Yeah.
A little different focus on that.
Little different twist on it, and it seems to work. That night was huge emotional for everybody, for me as well. And I'll tell you what, it was such a good experience for me to be able to work with these kids on it and try to impart this wisdom on them. Please, if it only changes one of their minds, if one of them makes a better decision not to drink and drive, then all the hours, all the money was well worth it.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Sime.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Sime from the CHP. talking about every 15 minutes, and the exercise was done in Ferndale earlier this month. So the second day, when the kids come in, and I try to speed it up a little bit, during the trial?
Yes.
The kids get to see the trials. They see the casket.
Yes.
And they're able to walk past the casket and see somebody that they know, recognize, is in there. I've only done the big schools with the small school, like Ferndale, 140 student population. You guys put a nice twist into it by using the faculty members too. That is cool.
Yep.
Because a lot of times that relationship is stronger. How did that change the dynamic on day two?
You know, it just, the whole thing, it made it more real that, you know, not only the students are in danger, faculty members, anybody driving in a motor vehicle is potentially in danger of being killed by a DUI driver. And yeah, day two, you know, each one is a little bit different. They chose not to do a trial, but they chose to go more of a funeral type assembly. And the parents came in, a few of them. We chose three or four to come in and read those letters that they wrote their child. And they, keep in mind, they haven't seen their child in basically a day and a half. Don't get to talk to them that morning before the assembly. The first time they get to see their child is sitting, the child's sitting up front, facing the crowd. And the parents walk up there and read this heartfelt letter and just, you know, break down. Everybody's crying in the audience. Good crying, you know, powerful emotional crying.
So then it all gets wrapped up. Everybody comes together.
Yep.
What do you hope for at that point? How do you wrap this thing up and make it positive and not take away a lot of the lessons?
You know, you just hope that it opens their eyes. You just hope that it opens their eyes to the dangers that are around here. And I try to bring it full circle to them. I brought in another guest speaker that day for the assembly. She was one of the survivors from a four-person fatal collision out on Highway 36 a couple years back. So she came in. She was young. She's 16, 17 years old. So she's the same age as these high school kids. And she came in and gave her testimony. And so the hope and the end is just to see the pain that it causes, how it can affect an entire community, not just a few people, not just the driver, not just the deceased, but family members. It can affect the emergency personnel. We got to show up on scene, and we have our mask on, and we, you know, we're doing our job. But then when we go home, we have to grieve. We have to deal with what we've seen.
Process it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just
absolutely.
Like the community does also.
Just like the community.
What feedback did you get from the high school? After it was done, a couple days, did you get?
Oh, yeah. You know, they loved it. The faculty who were involved, the students that were involved, the principal, everybody. And we had some parents would come who didn't even have students, like, involved, just parents of some of the students in the crowd. And also brothers and sisters of some of the kids who were involved came from the elementary school, and they...
Oh, they you, sixth you grader, let them come up.
Yeah, we said, whoa, come on okay. over, be part of it and see what we're doing. And they were just as emotional as everybody else, thinking about their older brother or sister passing away and them not being there anymore. So it was more than just touching Ferndale High. I think it touched the whole community. And that's the end result we're looking for.
Well, and hopefully they'll remember this weekend.
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. Please, everybody.
Very cool stuff. Thanks for coming by, Si.
Absolutely.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.